This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haider, bringing you back to reality. Here in the studio, we have with us Sister Zainab Sadat. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And we have Brother Yasir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
It's great to have you guys. You guys are sitting here right now and we're discussing this topic. But I don't know, your mind might be somewhere else. You might be, you know, in the future. You might be thinking about what you need to do next. Or you might be thinking and contemplating with a nostalgic, poignant tone in your mind that about the past. You're thinking about the past. So the question for today is, how do you stay in the moment?
How do you live in the moment?
How do you be in the moment? You know, because it is actually an Islamic concept. But in fact, I don't want to go into that right now. I want to open the floor for you, dear sister.
First, I want to refer to the Western culture's view of this concept. Right. Carpe diem. I don't know whether you've heard of it or not. If you have studied literature, definitely you have heard of this idiom.
Carpe diem.
Yes, carpe diem, or seizing the day. Mm-hmm. That's the expression. And in Western countries, or in general, in non-religious concepts, people come to do whatever that comes to their heart. Not to their mind, even comes to their heart. The very fast reaction that they can do, that they can have to everything, is called carpe diem, or living in the moment. Live in the moment, definitely not. We are highly recommended to be thoughtful, to think before what we do, and to think before every single deed or every single word we say.
About the consequence of this, which lies in the future.
Yes, the consequences. Right. Yes, and the important umbrella term that comes before carpe diem in Islamic thought is haqqun nas, the rights of others. Whatever you do, before whatever you do, you just have to consider whether the thing I'm going to tell will bother somebody or not. So that's the case, and so you will be so careful not to do haram, not to bother a person, not to lots of things, lots of confinements come to your mind.
And of course, also the Quran is always reminding us of our past. It's reminding us of the prophets, of the imams, of the Ahlul Bayt. It's reminding us even of shaitan and the fall of Adam from Jannah.
So, definitely, you're right. And so we have to be careful. We have to just keep ourselves from doing whatever we want, or saying whatever we want. As I said, it's quite different from what others believe. What carpe diem comes to others' mind, as I said, is just about doing whatever you want and enjoying the moment, enjoying your life, just the way you like. No, it's not that way in our religion. No, because other people must be respected.
Inshallah, after a break.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Let's bring Sheikh Yasir into this. Sheikhna, what are your immediate thoughts on this?
The concept of, as the sister mentioned, carpe diem, if I understood it correctly, means to seize the moment. That's a different meaning.
Yes, that's right.
To seize the moment.
Seize the day, kind of.
Seize the day. And this we do have in Islam. For example, there's a hadith, or not a hadith, a saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. He says that opportunities are like clouds. Right? Seize them before they pass. Right? Once a moment goes, it may not come back. But of course, when the Imam is speaking here, he's speaking about that spiritual opportunity that you have in front of you. For example, we had just passed the holy month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan. That is a moment to seize. If we do not seize it, it's gone. And we do not know whether we will be able to fast again the next year. For another example, one of the things that has been mentioned by the ulama, and something that is very, you know, profound and is something specific to Islam, is very beautiful, is the concept of istighfar. That istighfar, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your istighfar before you leave, that means that you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it at that particular moment. Why? Because you yourself are not aware what will happen the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
You are not know.
Mm.
Right now, collapse in front of you, you may have to do CPR on me. It may not work.
I'd still do it for you.
Yeah, I know you will. <don't worry. laughs>
The tawfiq of istighfar might be snatched from you.
Exactly.
Well.
So at any moment, that's an excellent point you made. Tawfiq has a very deep meaning in Islam.
Mm.
What does tawfiq mean? We normally see tawfiq as being success.
Nah, come on. How would you even translate tawfiq?
You can't translate it, first of all.
Uh-huh.
But people, general people, let's say this tawfiq, you know, in Farsi, they say, muwafaq washid, right?
Isn't it a divine motivation?
No, it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Tawfiq is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an individual, places an individual on a particular path. All the barriers of that path are removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That path is made clear for that person, and the one who's pushing the person on the path is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is tawfiq. Now you translate that.
Yeah.
That is tawfiq. That every single moment, every single second, I am completely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. That is true tawfiq. There are certain levels to tawfiq as well. We don't want to get into those levels right now. But in terms of the Islamic thing of seizing the moment, in terms of one's spiritual growth, is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
Even in terms of, for example, even in a physical manner, a person comes to me asking for something, a beggar, whatever, someone who is less fortunate than I am. That is a moment to seize. If I don't have anything, right, I have to act in a particular manner.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know, I smile with it. That smile itself is sadaqah. That smile itself that I give is sadaqah.
Mm-hmm.
We have this in tradition that smile itself is sadaqah.
Mm-hmm.
If I have something, I can give. If I don't have something, I can't give. But I act in a manner that I'm seizing that moment, even though I'm unaware that I'm seizing the moment. I'm not aware of it. But I'm taking that moment in order for my own spiritual benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we have in Islam. That's living in a moment in Western, as the sister mentioned, is different. Like, she's living a moment like, okay.
Yeah, it's become a very materialistic thing.
But it's not. Mm. Islam has that. Seize the moment, and you have certain opportunities that have been placed for you.
Mm.
Seize them. If you don't seize them,
the good things. Sister, so we have two. I like the contrast here. You started off by saying that, you know, living in the moment is not a part of Islam. Islam teaches us to look to the future, to look to the past, and it teaches us to consider how other people are feeling before we say anything, not to just jump out and grab whatever our hearts fancy.
Yes.
Brother Yasir is providing a complete contrast to that, and he's explaining the other side, where Islam actually does tell us to seize the moment, but in an entirely different way.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, he's talking about moments of charity, opportunities of charity that are available to us. And I'm quite agree with what he says. And I think these two concepts are not controversial at all.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow complete one another. They match one another. And that's quite right. You know, and it's one of the beauties of Islam even, that the one concept we're talking about, one concept that is quite different and observed differently from ordinary people's point of view. And on the other hand, Islam has presented a new definition to it. And what they say, what Brother Yasser said, is just quite interesting. And another way of saying this topic, I really liked his interpretation of this concept. And I quite, as I said, I just agree with him with what he says. And that could be considered as, I don't know how to put it in words. For example, when you, as Jossie said, a beggar, your help to a beggar, it's not just that you are doing a good thing, that, you know, these spontaneous acts, they gradually become your habits.
Right, excellent, yeah.
So we can say that working on ourselves and considering what I said, that being careful not to bother others, being careful to work on yourself, gradually these spontaneous moments would come to become your habits and create your characteristics. Paying sadaqah constantly could lead to your generosity.
Yeah.
And generosity is not a it is not just a financial concept. It's more wider than what we believe. Generosity, as Jossie said, it could be considered just as smiling, treating other people in a good way.
I do feel that the living in the moment, particularly living in the very moment, is an actual very important part of Islam. And it's demonstrated perfectly through the most important duty which we have in Islam, which is to pray. As-salah, it cannot take its true form and shape unless we learn to live in the moment. When we are in salah, I believe that that's when we're being tested in the greatest way about whether we are living in the moment or not. Because most of the time, let's be honest, our minds are drifting here and there. We're thinking about the past. We've been thinking about the future. We're thinking about other places. Everything that we are thinking about is everything except where we are right now and what we're doing. Sheikh Yasir, what's your opinion about this?
Yeah, definitely, bro. Again, the seizing that moment, that because obviously that moment, the salah itself requires concentration before it and after it and so on. So there's a discussion regarding concentration in prayer. But that particular moment, as you mentioned, while a person is standing there, the ability to understand where you are standing, you know, in that moment, where you are standing in that moment, is something profound and something that is very difficult, obviously, for majority of us to bring. Inshallah, we have the tawfiq in this sense to have that ability to recognize where we are standing at that moment. But obviously, like I said, that moment requires a journey to get there throughout the day. For example, some of the scholars of ethics and the scholars of mysticisms, when they were asked this question that how can a person gain that concentration in salah, he said, it is not something that comes in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they say. They said, if you want to do it there and then, it's not going to happen. It is something that has to be done before that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So as Sister mentioned, yes, Islam, you also have that in that there's a preparation. For example, if you wanted to living in a moment, you can say Islam has certain moments throughout a person's journey that has to be prepared for. For example, salah is one of them in our physical. Another moment is our qabr. Another moment is our mahshar. Another moment is when we are brought to answer. And so on and so forth. So that moment...
The moment we die.
The moment we die. Yeah. The moment we die. Everything they say, right? The moment.
Yeah.
The moment you are born.
Mm.
So all these things. So going like... So that, for example, there are certain things that in the moment cannot happen.
Mm.
So for example, salah, the ulama say that if a person throughout the day, moments throughout the day are so full of multiplicity that in a moment to go back to unicity is impossible. So throughout so every single moment that a person has before that particular moment, you have to train yourself to, okay, remove my attachments to the multiplicity around me. So when that moment comes, I'm able to concentrate. This is one advice that the teachers of ethics give.
That's a beautiful discussion. I wish we could continue it, but unfortunately we've run out of time. This always happens right when we're at the cusp of making a major breakthrough and changing our lives forever. this has to happen. Right. From myself, from sister Zainab Sadat, and from brother Yasser Ibrahim, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.